to 1 Timothy chapter 2. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 2. It's interesting when you come to this portion of Scripture today that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, the Apostle Paul is writing to a young pastor by the name of Timothy. Scholars believe that Timothy was kind of a timid young man. He was a man that sometimes had anxiety. That's why they believe that Paul had told Timothy for medicinal purpose to use a little wine for your stomach's sake and not often infirmities. So Paul was really, you know, I really truly believe that Paul was under the inspiration of God's Spirit. He really wanted to encourage this young man. He really wanted to lift his spirits. He really wanted to let him know that what he was doing was worth it. That what he was doing, even though sometimes it was tough, even though sometimes it was extremely difficult, being a preacher, and especially in the first century when there was a hostility towards any believer in Christ, it could cost you your life if you claim the name of Jesus and would not renounce Christ and serve Caesar. Many times you'd lose your life, or you'd be imprisoned, or you'd be, you know, fed to wild animals. So Paul reaches deep, and he really reaches deep in his, I believe, in his heart, to really illustrate and really drive home the fact that Timothy, what you're doing, number one, it's absolutely necessary. Number two, it's absolutely worth it. But number three, Timothy, there are those that are watching you. There are those that have their eyes on you. There are those that will be, here it is, this is a good word. There are those, Timothy, that will be inspired by your service. Ladies and gentlemen, when I think of Joseph Miracle today, I can honestly say, and maybe with the help of an amen or two, are there not many of us in this room that are inspired by his service? You better believe it. That's why years, many, many years ago, I started a practice in my own life, just felt compelled to do that. That any time I would see a soldier, and I wasn't in the military, so please forgive me, I don't want to lump you all together. I know there's the different branches, airmen and Marine Corps. You started to say, "Oorah, Tom." And that, what'd you do? He barked, "Kathy, get a hold of him back there." But those that served in the Air Force, those that served National Guard, all of those that protect and serve and keep us safe. I started a practice, and even our police forces and National Guard and Coast Guard is what I meant to say. I tried to make it a practice that if I saw one, just simply to go up and say thank you. Amen? Just shake their hand and say, "Hey, I want you to know I appreciate what you're doing. And I want you to know that I say this to them also, my family. We'll go up and say, "Hey, I want you to know we pray for you guys. We pray for you ladies. We pray for you that absolutely are keeping us free. And we're grateful to God for your service." So, and I remember one time, and I'll never forget this. I was in the Atlanta airport, super busy airport, and there was all kinds of soldiers and those in the different forces in uniform walking through the airport. And I remember stopping a young man. He was probably, I would say he's roughly Joseph Miracle's age. And I stopped this young man. I said, "Son," I said, "can I ask you a question?" I said, "First of all, thank you for what you do." And I said, "It really means the world to me as an American." And then I just kept talking for a minute. And I said, "I'm a preacher. And sometimes I see things as a preacher. You know, I kind of think that way." And I said, "The Bible says," I used this passage with this young man. I said, "The Bible talks about how, you know, one preacher was encouraging another to fight like a good soldier." I said, "If you can tell me something," I said, "can you tell me what is the most difficult thing of being a soldier?" And I'll never forget this. He looked right at me without hesitation. He said, "No, preacher," he said, "you know, as far as the bullets and the bombs going off and all that kind of stuff," he said, "it may sound weird," he said, "but you get kind of used to that." He said, "when you're over there." He said, "it happens all the time. You get kind of used to the alerts and, you know, and different things." He said, "you kind of grow accustomed to that because of where you're at the moment." But I'll never forget this. He said, but something that you never get used to is being away from your family. You never get used to that. And he said, that is the hardest thing. Here we are at 11:57 on a Sunday morning. As Adrian said, you know, we'll no doubt this week, many of us will celebrate our country, you know, independence. And yes, it was independence from Britain, but it was also pledging our dependence as a nation on Almighty God. But as we will celebrate this week, I want you to think about something. I want you to think of right now, 11:57 Eastern Time. There are men and women all over this country, all over this world, that are fighting for your freedoms. They are fighting for your freedoms. I remember seeing a caption on Facebook. I thought it was kind of funny. I actually was kind of cool. And it showed, you know, these military men, and they're in their arm, they're in their uniforms, and you know, and they've got their you know, the rifles and things, and defending our country. And one of the captions was, he says, "Yeah, and all the, I don't know if I think it said snowflakes, but it was something like all the snowflakes are fighting for $15 an hour in fast food, and we're over here fighting to keep you, to give you the right to protest." That kind of puts it in perspective, don't it? You say, "Preacher, we're allowed to protest." Yeah, you're right. And that the peaceful protest. What some of the people are doing in our nation today, that's not peaceful protest. That's rioting. And, I shouldn't do this because I'm going to get myself in trouble. But if you jump in front of my Dodge Ram, and I got Buttercup, my baby's in my truck, it's not going to be good. There's a reverse in that truck, too. You say, "I can't believe you'd say something like that." I'll protect my family. I'll protect my family. And you know what? Here's the thing. It's the ones in our military, our armed forces, that protect every one of us. You're aware of that, right? They protect every one of us. So the Apostle Paul, real quick, I won't keep you long. I just want to be encouragement to you and maybe kind of challenge our hearts and really in honor of such a great man. I loved in hearing of Sergeant Adrian, Sergeant First Class, retired Adrian Sutalo, who spent 26 years, Sarge, 26 years in the military. And Lieutenant Colonel, retired Bill Weir, who spent 25 years in the military. Those are the ones that brought our flags in this morning. I think we ought to give them a round of applause, amen. Absolutely. We're grateful. We're grateful for that. And they say once a serviceman, always a serviceman. And I remember years ago we had VBS. And Brother Bill and Miss Bonnie, they do our VBS. And Bonnie told Bill the kids were rambunctious. You know, they're outside and they're kind of running all over the place. And Bill, or Miss Bonnie told Brother Bill, Lieutenant Colonel Bill, she said, "Hey, go get the kids ready to march in." That's all she said. I promise this is what happened. Bill goes out there. Brother Bill goes out there. And you hear him kind of talking to him. And I promise you, the kids come in, they were like this. They weren't moving a muscle. Bonnie's like, "Bill, what'd you do?" He says, I got them ready to march in. She goes, "This ain't the military, Bill. They're kids." But hey, brother, I was grateful for that. We never heard a peep out of them the rest of the week. Because he told them they were all going to pull kitchen duty if they messed up. Amen. But I appreciate these men more than they know sometimes, I think. I really do. I appreciate all those that have served and served. You know what's amazing? Another thing that just hit just from my heart. One of the things that amazes me is when 9/11 happened, when that happened many, many years ago, right after that, the recruiting offices had an influx of people wanting to sign up. Wow. There are some countries, ladies and gentlemen, that you don't get the joy of signing up voluntarily. You're going in, male or female. You're going in. Israel, you're going in, and you're going to serve your time. Not America. I know there was, you know, years and years ago, Vietnam era, there was, you know, the draft and things, but what a great country. What a tremendous country. So 1 Timothy chapter 2, please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's holy word. So Paul reaches deep. He reaches deep to encourage this young man. And he writes in verse 1 of our text, "Thou therefore," he's talking to Timothy, "thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." 2 Timothy chapter 2. It's been a crazy week, ladies and gentlemen. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Some of you didn't even know there was a first or second in the Bible. I'm telling you, some of you didn't know that. Look at verse 1. Paul writes, he said, "That thou therefore, my son," he's talking to Timothy, "be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And by the way, there is a lot of grace in Jesus. A lot of grace in Christ. "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall also be able to teach others also." It kind of sounds like the ministry or the military, doesn't it, Sarge? The things that you've learned in me, you know, I want you to do that. I want you to teach others also. And then he says in verse 3, and so he reaches deep. He reaches deep to encourage this young pastor. He reaches deep to really drive home his point. At a time in which they were around the Roman army, the Roman army was something to be a sight to behold. And there would have been no doubt soldiers, probably as Paul is writing this, that he would have remembered or thought about or possibly seen as he's writing this. He's thinking, man, under the inspiration of God, how can I illustrate my point about what it means to be strong? Oh, I know what I'm going to do. Verse 3. He says, "Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the fact that we live in America, and we thank you, Lord Jesus, for the fact that we are free because of your grace and mercy. But Father, we are also free because it's our military, men and women, that continue to keep us so. I thank you, Lord, for the memory of Joe Miracle, Lord, and I thank you, God, as we celebrate this nearly 10 years since his death. I thank you, Father, that his death was not in vain. And Lord, we honor that today. We're grateful for him. We're grateful for his mom. We're grateful for his family, Lord, that was a support for him, an encouragement for him. And Lord, they loved him, and he loved them. And Lord, it's evident as what Sarge was telling us today. So Father, may you use your word as only you can. May the Holy Spirit be our teacher, be our guide. For it's in Jesus' name I pray, and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So when we look in this portion of Scripture, the first thing I want to call your attention to, and we could illustrate it with other you know, verses of Scripture. One verse in the Old Testament, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." We know that. You can look in Psalms, all throughout the Psalms, and you'll see how God blesses a nation that is God, is Jehovah, right? God will bless a nation whose God is the Lord. That's what God says. And, you know, and he also then tells us that, you know, sin is a reproach to any people. So we as a nation, yes, we're free, and yes, we have God, you know, all throughout our documents. You would have to honestly be an educated, I'm really hesitant to say the phrase willfully ignorant, but that's really the only phrase that comes to mind. You would have to be willfully ignorant to not see Christ in our founding. Can I get a witness? You would have to be willfully ignorant to not see the Word of God as foundational to the beginning of our country. You'd have to be willfully ignorant. You would have to be a history revisionist. What does that mean, preacher? There are those very deliberately, very absolutely deliberately, that are trying to rewrite our history and try to write God out of it. That's the truth. That's what's going on. And we wonder why we have such a group that are coming out of our public schools and coming out of our college campuses that don't even believe anything to do about God, that had a integral part in bringing this nation to existence. Why don't they have a knowledge of it? Because it's not being taught. And it's not being taught deliberately. So us that know a little bit about our history, know a little bit about our founding, here's something else you got to understand. You hear all over the world today, you hear all over our country, you hear on all kinds of liberal media that we are a democracy. Not so. We are a republic, ladies and gentlemen. We are a republic. And if you really think about it from a, now yes, there are democratic things that we have set in place and voting and things like that. But in the context of a democracy, if you think about it for a moment, a democracy, so it really just boils down and simply means mob rule. That's what democracy means. Mob rule. That's not the way God founded this country. He founded it as a republic. And in the context of that, we understand that you know, we're, yes, all human beings have inalienable rights, right? We understand that, yes, God Almighty is the one that gives us freedom. God Almighty is the one that brought us into existence and blessed us. We as a nation, I read one writer said this, and I agree with this. He said, the United States of America was founded to be a gospel missionary sending nation. Ladies and gentlemen, the millions upon millions upon millions of dollars throughout the history of our great country has been of mission support and sending missionaries out. You say, yeah, but aren't missionaries now coming to America? Yes, that's true. Yes, that's true. That is happening. But I would bet you, if I was a betting man, we still are number one in sending out missionaries. I really believe that. I do. So what was our founding? So first thing we notice, America was founded on Christian principle. Let me read some historical facts to you. Ready for this? You say, I don't like history. Well, it's important that you know it. Right? It's important that you know a little bit about your history as an American so that you don't get duped, so that you don't get swindled with a lie. Listen to this. On July 4th, 1776, there was signed in the city of Philadelphia one of America's historic documents, the Declaration of Independence. It marked the birth of this nation, which under God was destined for world leadership. We often forget that in declaring independence from earthly power, our forefathers made a forthright declaration of dependence upon Almighty God. The closing words of this document solemnly declare, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, divine, heavenly providence, divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. The 56 courageous men who signed the document understood that this was not just high-sounding rhetoric. They knew that if they succeeded, the best they could expect. You see, I think sometimes we take for granted that what is in a signature. There are some things in life that you'll sign your name to, isn't it? I sign the name to the birth certificates of my children. I sign the name to that. I signed the name on my marriage certificate. Why? Because I was pledging my name to that union. There are some things, ladies and gentlemen, that are absolutely worth dying for. Marriage is one. Your children are another. Right? There are some things worth signing your name on. And of the 56 men that signed the declaration, they understood that what they were signing could very likely, hear this, could very likely result in their death. But they signed it. And you that are sitting in this room today, you better thank God that they signed it. They knew that if they succeeded, the best they could expect would be years of hardship in a struggling new nation. If they lost, they would face a hangman's noose as traitors. Of the 56, few were long to survive. Listen to this, teenagers. Of the 56, few were long to survive. 5 were captured by the British and tortured before they died. 12 had their houses from Rhode Island to Charleston sacked, looted, and occupied by the enemy or burned. 2 lost their sons in the army. 1 had 2 sons captured. 9 of the 56 died in the war from its hardships or from its bullets. They considered, these 56 signers of this declaration, considered liberty much more important than the security they enjoyed. Did you hear that? They considered liberty much more important than the security they enjoyed. When I read that statement, it reminds me of your son. It does. It reminds me of Joseph Miracle. He absolutely considered liberty much more important than the security that he enjoyed. Ladies and gentlemen, he did it because he was a dedicated American. He did it because he was a dedicated patriot of this country. It goes on. They pledged their lives, their fortunes, their sacred honor. They fulfilled their pledge. They paid the price, and freedom was won. Someone said, and in this quote here, it says, to be born free is a privilege, and it is a privilege. To die free is an awesome responsibility. To be born free is a privilege. To die free is an awesome responsibility. Little did John Adams know how significant the words would be when he spoke to his wife Abigail on the passing of the Declaration of Independence. And he said to his wife, I am well aware of the toil, the blood, and the treasure that it will cost to maintain this declaration and support and defend these states. Yet through all the gloom, I can see the rays of light and glory. I can see that the end is worth more than all the means. They were visionaries. These 56 men were visionaries. These 56 men lived by a principle when it comes to vision, that if you don't see it before you see it, you'll never see it. If you don't see it before you see it, you'll never see it. You may never see it. Do you have a vision for your family? Do you have a vision for your nation? You say, preacher, what can I do? I'm just one person. What if God could use you like one of the 56? Say, preacher, come on, preacher. We're 2017. That declaration was signed years and years and years ago. You're right, but to be born free is a privilege. To die free is an awesome responsibility. You say, preacher, what would you encourage some of our young people? I'll tell you what I would encourage some of our young people that love Jesus. Go into politics. Go into politics. Come on, preacher. They're a bunch of heathens in our government. There are a lot of them. That's why they need the light of the gospel of Christ lived out through somebody that loves Jesus' life. And somebody that's going to stand for life. Somebody that's going to stand for liberty. Somebody that's going to stand for the truth that this nation was founded on God's word. Just a thought. I'm grateful for those in government that love the Lord. I'm grateful. And again, and I posted on my Facebook, and you probably saw this. Regardless of your political, regardless of where you hang your hat politically, whether Republican, Democrat, Independent, we should all be grateful we're an American. Miss Kathy said, preacher, don't forget those of us immigrants that came here legally to become a citizen. Did you know Miss Kathy's from Italy? And she came here and became a U.S. citizen. And listen, friend, regardless of what some may tell you, I'm all for people coming to this country. And so is our president. They just want them to come here legally. Don't come through the wall. Don't come over a wall. Come through the front door and do it legally. And you're welcome here. Don't buy into the nonsense that, oh, he hates immigrants. That's a lie. That's an absolute lie. It's being propagated by the liberal media. Come legally and you'll have our blessing. Why? Because America indeed is a place where people come. Some come because of religious persecution. Some come to find freedom. Some come. That's why, honestly, I mean, if you think about our country, how wonderful it is. I mean, you look at Cuba, for example. You saw Cuba's a wonderful country. Okay, here's what I encourage. Don't do this. Please don't do this. Because some teenager is going to hear this and they're going to say, yep, I'm doing it because my preacher told me to do that. Don't do this. But I'm just illustrating a point. Go to Cuba and try to put up an American flag. Try it. Go to Cuba and get on your Facebook and say bad things about their leadership. Say, put some of the things that they're putting on social media today about our president and elected officials, try that in Cuba. And if you'll be doing the proverbial, making big ones out of small into small ones if you survive. Big ones, what's a preacher mean, big ones and the small ones? Big rocks and the small rocks. By hand. Hard labor. Oh, here's another one. Go to North Korea. When I see these college kids going to North Korea, I'm thinking, have you lost your mind? But here's what happens on our campuses, often in the world, in our nation, in our public schools. Often this happens. They try to tell everybody, oh, we just need to try love. We just need to try hugging one another. Oh, this is love. We just need to hug that dictator in North Korea. That's how we'll win them. Yeah, and he'll hug you with a gunshot. He'll hug you with prison. He'll hug you with brain injury so bad that he flies you back home after being in prison and you die a week later. Wow. Just a thought. It was founded on Christian principle. It was fought for by courageous men and women. Honestly, truly, from the bottom of my heart, Miss Miracle, from the bottom of my heart, from the depths of my soul, we cannot say enough good things about your son. We cannot say enough good things about this young man. Young people, Joseph Miracle, and men and women like him, they should be our heroes. Can I get a witness? They should be our heroes. They should be someone you can look up to and aspire to be like. Living selflessly. Giving of their time. Giving of their talents. Giving of their resources. Giving of themselves to do it. For those that fought in Vietnam. I talked to Danny Rebelski about this one time and it made me cry. Dano fought in Vietnam. He was in the thick of it. If you ever want to see how rough it was when he was in, look up the Battle of Hastings. I think it was, wasn't it, Tom? The Battle of Hastings. Look that up. And see when Dano and his platoon went through and in one fight alone, they lost, I think it was 8 Marines were killed. Dano was in the Marine Corps. And the very next day or a couple days later, they had to march back in that heat and take the bodies of those fallen soldiers out from the battlefield. And Daniel was telling me, I said, Danny, I was told that, of course, I was born in 72. Some of you are shocked by that because you thought I was 29 years old. I know, I'm shocked about it when I say the name, when I say the year. But I said, Daniel, I said, I was told that when a lot of y'all came home from Vietnam that you were made fun of, you were called baby killers, you were spit on. He said, yeah. He said, preacher, that's true. For those of you that fought in Vietnam, we as the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church, we say, welcome home, soldier. That we ought to be ashamed of that as a country. We ought to be ashamed of that. You better be grateful to God that when the commander-in-chief calls them up, they deploy without hesitation. Right? And by the way, regardless if you, and again, you got to understand something. Support of our military has nothing to do with politics. Can I get a witness? It has nothing to do with politics, ladies and gentlemen. You should be able to support the military whether you're for the war or against the war. You still support the military. Can I get a witness? Support them. You say, yeah, but preacher, no, listen, can we all agree There's no buts about it. You support them. You thank God for them. I'll be honest. I'm just being truthful. I think it's a soldier that should be making $100,000 a year. Just a thought. You know, in the Roman Empire, whenever a soldier, a centurion, if he fought for 10 years, you know, the Roman Empire would give that soldier some land when he retired. They would give him a what we know as a pension for life when he retired. We ought to do that for our military. Maybe, honestly, I don't know a whole lot about all that, but I think they do some things for them. But I'm thankful that our president absolutely came out unashamedly and said, we will take care of our great veterans. We need to. We need to. My opinion, I should run for office. Because you know what I would do with all of our veterans? Hear me for a minute. Bill, here's what I would do with all of our veterans. I would give them a medical card. Get this one. And I would say, go to whoever you want to. Go to whatever hospital. And by the way, you go, you take this with you. You have an, what's the phrase? You have an open check. Go get taken care of. You say, who's going to pay for it? Let's do this. Let's take the millions and millions of dollars that the liberals spend on trying to find and protect an unknown frog in some marsh somewhere. Are you kidding me? We have become what Romans says. We worship the creature more than the creator. Take it from them. Oh, here's a good one. Take it from Planned Parenthood. Murderers. That's what they are. You say, preacher, you shouldn't get on politics. Let me interject. Has nothing to do with politics. Has everything to do with life and the sanctity thereof. When you can sit in a restaurant eating your salad and talking about busting the brain of a child in the womb, that's barbaric. And in the Old Testament, those are the same kind of fools that used to worship the god of Moloch and throw their babies to a fiery altar. It's no different. And I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to. You see, yeah, but a woman has a right to choose. Help me. A woman has a right not to get pregnant. Right? She should have thought about that before she jumped in a sack with somebody. Preach, I can't believe you're talking like this. Give me a break, parents. Your kids, kids. I tried to put my glass up. They're not there. I want to ask these teenagers. Oh, stand up for a minute. Stand up, teenagers. Turn around and look at these parents. You're going to help preacher today. How many of you've heard what preacher just said? How many of you heard what preacher just said? Okay, that's two of you. Thank you, Dave and Peter. I'll throw a hymn book at every one of y'all. Throw a hymn book at you. Now, you just heard what preacher said about the sanctity of life. You just heard the preacher said that a woman has right not to get pregnant, right? You just heard the preacher say she shouldn't jump in a sack with somebody, right? Oh, by the way, sex is for marriage. We're talking about the Bible here. That's what sex is for, marriage. Young people, have you not heard far worse things in the schools you go to? Far worse statements? Filth, until you go to Christian school, you better not hear worse things. I'm sure you have. Help me, kids. Raise your hand if you've heard far worse than that. Raise them up high. Parents, are you seeing that? Go ahead and have a seat, guys. I did have to wake up some of them. They were asleep. They've heard far worse than that. And God is my witness. For those of you that perhaps isn't even in this room, have had an abortion, we love you. I hope you hear my heart in that. You're looking at a young man who's my own mother told me on the phone when I found out who my real dad was. My own mother told me she was going to abort me. My own mother told me that. And she said, it's because your biological father didn't believe in abortion. Wow. He saved my life. Look how charming of a pastor you have now. Aren't you thankful? for the 12 of you that clapped just now. You're my favorite church members. By far, you're my favorite church members. You say, Pastor, you get pretty fired up about that stuff. Why? Because God gets pretty fired up about it. God gets pretty fired up about it. Do you realize when you look in the Old Testament, the book of Jonah, that God spared God spared the city of Nineveh because there were thousands upon thousands upon thousands of little children. He spared that country. That's one of the reasons he spared it. That did not know from the right for their left. God protects the little children. We as a nation should do that as well. That's all I'm saying. It's the soldier that we thank God for. It's the men and women in uniform that we thank God for. And Paul said, Timothy, let me illustrate what it means to be strong. Let me illustrate what it means to be a champion for Christ. Timothy, be like the soldier. A soldier dedicated, loyal. Here I am reporting for duty, sir. You want me to take that hill? That's what Danny told me. Danny said, Preacher, he said, I wasn't much for playing around when I was in Vietnam. He said, one time a full-bird colonel told me to wash his Jeep. Dano. Can you believe Danny went in a private? He said, I made private first class two or three times, but he'd come out a private 4 years later. He told the colonel, which is not good, he said, listen, he said, if you want somebody to charge that hill, he said, I'm your man. He said, but if you're looking for Mickey Mouse, you better go to Disneyland. He goes, Danny said, well, I said, what did he say when you just said that? He goes, summon court martial. Dano, the old Dano. Maybe some of you didn't know that about Dano. Yeah, he has a lot of stories. When you're out hunting with him out in Colorado, with him and Tom and those boys, Sarge. You're out hunting with Adrian. You just, somehow or another, the conversation starts talking about the wars and things. And you know what every single one of them did? When they talk about your son or they talk about soldiers that they've lost during the war. Young people, you know what they do? These soldiers, these hardened soldiers that were tough and strong, you know what they do? They cry like a baby. They cry like a baby. Why? They may be tough. They may be strong. But they have a heart. They have a heart for this country. And they have a heart for you. They have a heart for you. And regardless, you said, Preacher, you made me mad by some of the things you said. It's not my intention to offend you. It's just my intention, with the help of God, hopefully, to wake us up. This nonsense has to stop, ladies and gentlemen. This nonsense has to stop. You know why? For my grandbabies one day. Did you hear that, Harold, kids? For my great-grandchildren one day. For my daughters-in-law, for my son, a future son-in-law. It has to stop. It begins in the churches. My challenge today is simply this. If you're here and you do not know Jesus, I encourage you to trust Christ your Savior. Because just like Joseph's miracle in the war, your life can end in a split second. Maybe not on a battlefield. Maybe in a car accident. Maybe in a house fire. Maybe you name it. Your life could end in an instant. So the question I impose on you, using Joe's life, are you ready to meet Christ? Are you ready to die? Have you repented and believed the gospel to the saving of your soul? You need to do that if you're not saved. Maybe you are saved. Say, Preacher, I'm saved. I'll be honest. I mean, when I hear anybody talk about, this or that and some of the political statements you did make, Preacher, when I hear anybody, it makes me so furious. Well, good. Let me tell you why. I pray God uses the day. Young people, you hear me. Every single one of you hear me. I pray God uses the day to provoke discussion. Tell me why you believe that way. T- Tell me why biblically you believe it's okay for abortions. Tell me why biblically, if you claim the name of Jesus, I'm not saying you should or shouldn't. Tell me why biblically you believe that way. I'll tell you why biblically I do. I would love to have discussion. But don't be a coward. Don't become a cyber coward. Cyber cowards use their Facebook platform to rip everybody to shreds. Let's do it biblically. Biblically, if you have a problem with somebody, you need to go to them and talk to them alone. Privately, private conversation, and let's discuss this as humans, hopefully as adults. If you're teenagers, I'll let this slide a little bit. If you're up to age 25, I'll give you some slack. Maybe you'd like to come today to the altar and just pray. And I would never embarrass you, Miss Miracle. Maybe some of you just want to come up and love on a little bit. I'll give you an opportunity to do that as well. Let's all stand, please. Brother Ryan's going to come and lead us. What's your number, bud? 317. 317, or perhaps you'll see it on the screen.